Daniel 7, I'm going to have to go back to my notes. It gets a little more complicated there. But Daniel 6, is it working, Brother Neil?
I have to
show the black. Okay, you want me to turn this off?
No, leave it on.
Okay. Daniel chapter 6, it says, it pleased Darius to settle, remember chapter, no, I don't think I did chapter 5, did I?
I can't remember.
I don't remember.
We were on Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah, and Belshazzar was the new king.
Yep.
Right, so we ain't even done chapter 5 yet then. Okay. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast. Chapter 5, verse 1. To 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. You notice, he did this while he tasted the wine. So evidently he probably tasted a little wine and he's getting a little tipsy or whatever, and he decisions, okay? That's when sin usually comes about, right?
Yep. And plus he's defying God. Now, it's not one thing is drink wine, but then he's just throwing it in God's.
Right. So. And he'd have been all right probably if he'd have just stuck to the drinking the wine part.
No.
Maybe, I don't know. But what he did next is where really he absolutely is.
He really is.
Yeah. Because what he's doing, he's taking vessels. Now, think about these vessels are just made out of ordinary materials, right? But they were sanctified, or they were set apart for a holy use. And so we got to understand that. You know, it's not that there was something different about the metal or something, you know. No, it was golden vessels, no different than gold anywhere else. But they were set aside by the Lord, you know, for this use. And so when he did this, he's blaspheming God, really. And you will see that. Anyway, so he wanted to bring these vessels so that he and his wives and his concubines, multiple wives, multiple concubines, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, verse 3, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and brass and iron and wood and of stone, not the God of glory. They praised these false gods, but they using the vessels that were set aside for the worship of the God of heaven, right? And they're using those vessels and they're praising pagan gods. So you can see the
nonsense.
In the same hour, very same hour, when they did this, came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So can you imagine that? There's a hand over there writing on the wall, and you don't see a body, but you see the hand?
Yes.
Well, that'd blow my mind, wouldn't it?
That'd get you sober quick.
It got him sober quick, too.
He told him to turn the CDs off.
Turn the CDs off.
Well, they would have a good time.
Yeah.
He sees this image.
Yeah.
Well, it ain't an image, it's actual writing.
Yeah, he saw the writing, and he saw the part of the hand that wrote. So he's seeing, I guess, the fingers or whatever part. He didn't see maybe the whole hand. I don't know. He saw part of a hand, and this part of this hand is writing on the wall, and he sees all this, okay? Yeah, what did you say? He said he cut off the, he turned off the CD player?
That sounds like something
Brother Charlie would say.
That's kind of what I said.
Yeah, I know.
He always
says stuff like that. Yeah, he turned the propane off.
Yeah.
Turn the barbecue pit off. I like that. And turn off the CD player. Anyway, then he saw it. Then the king's countenance was changed, like you just said. And his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees smote one against another. Wow. Yeah, he definitely turned off the CD.
Can I say something, Brother Lucius? Fast forward to end time.
Okay.
The unbeliever. just
like this.
Like this man. They defy God every day.
Yeah.
They throw things into church's face.
Yep.
They stomp on his word.
Yep.
They say it's trash, it's fables, it's
yep.
nothing.
And they mock the second coming.
The second time Christ, when he comes again,
yeah.
the people don't have to go be educated. Immediately,
yeah.
that same hour, their knees are going to smoke.
Yeah.
They know conviction will fall, judgment.
I mean, it will be obvious.
It's
you
like he's doing this king right
yeah.
now. He didn't have to think about this or go to a counselor and they tell him what's going on.
He's seen something. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody had to witness to him about, you know, that he should be, that he ought to be trembling. Nobody convinced him to be trembling, right? That handwriting.
When judgment comes again, they're going to be crying for the cross.
Yeah. Fall on them, right.
They know.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
Conviction.
Yeah. The God they've been mocking all this time.
It's horrible. It's hitting this man right now.
Yeah. Anyway, his knees, I like that. Well, I wouldn't like it if I was him. And his knees smote one against the other. Boy, he's scared to death. And this is a king with all his power, and his knees are popping together. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. Bringing in the wrong people again, right? You know, you'd think he'd have learned this from his grandfather, you know. And I think when it said his father, I don't know if I told you all that most expositors think that Belshazzar was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, but anyway, still his father or grandfather, whatever. Anyway, so he brought in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Wow, he's wanting this thing interpreted pretty quick. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished, or stunned, or which means astonished. So, man, what's going on? All right, he's troubled, he's astonished, and all that. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed." So she's coming in with a solution here, right? I know somebody can interpret this. "There is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods," plural again, right? They ain't got that straight yet. "And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him." Because they still worshiping false gods, you know. So, you know, Daniel's got the wisdom of the gods, plural, you know, whatever. Okay. "In him whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father," the king, I say, thy father, "made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers." In other words, he was above all them guys, right? "For as much as excellent spirit, and knowledge, and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." You know, he's telling the king that, right? "Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah?" So he's recognizing that he's one of the Jews that came out of captivity, right? So he knows that. "Whom the king my father brought out of Uri. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods," plural, "is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men and the astrologers have been brought, right, in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. I'm not sure that they didn't know what the words were, because when I understand this was, I have it in my notes, it was actually a Chaldean writing, or, you know, it wasn't something, they just didn't make, couldn't make sense of it, okay, from what I read. I don't know. Because here he says, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. Oh, we don't have any idea what that means. I mean, I can put some words up on the wall and you wouldn't know what that meant, would it? Even though you might be able to read the words.
Okay, again.
What? Go ahead. I'm listening.
These unbelievers today have God's word.
Yeah, they can read that.
Plain in their own language.
Yeah. And
yet, they don't understand.
Yeah, don't. That's right. They don't even comprehend it.
Maybe this is what's going on here. They have their own interpretation, but they know what they're saying ain't right, but they kind of cover it up.
You know, I don't think they know what the heck that means up there.
What they need is a prophet.
Yeah.
We need a preacher to preach.
Yeah.
When we're lost.
Yeah.
Unbelievers.
I think he's still playing with that thing back there.
Anyway, the true man of God will reveal God's word
mm-hmm.
to those.
And Daniel's about to do that, isn't he? Amen. Anyway, they couldn't show the interpretation. I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be the third ruler of the kingdom. And now listen to this. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. I wonder why he's saying that. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto thee the interpretation. See, he knows already, probably, that the king is done. So he can just keep your stuff, because, you know, it ain't going to last a minute. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and language trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew and whom he would keep alive and whom he would set up and whom he would put down. In other words, he had absolute authority, right? But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride. There's the whole problem with everything is pride. And we're going to see as this goes on, you know, when the next king, we'll see when they put, you know, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but those guys that plotted against Daniel, they hit the king with pride. Oh, live forever. You great king, you God, you so good. You know, and we'll get to it, but anyway. And you know what, when people, we got to guard against that. When people start praising you, don't let it go to your head. And a lot of times they're praising you for an alternative reason, and that's what they did to King Darius in the next proceeding. They were praising that king to trap him to put Daniel in that lion's den, as you will see it. And they praised him and, you know, made him think he was so great. And he sucked it right in. He fell for it. So anyway, didn't Jesus say, beware when all men speak good of you or something like that? All right, but anyway, 20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He's preaching to old Belshazzar, isn't he? And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast. We read all that, right? And his dwelling was with the grass like an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thy heart, though thou knew all these things. That's quite a statement, huh? You knew all of that, Belshazzar, and yet you're still full of pride. Your father had to be brought down and made to eat grass like an ox till he knew that God ruled.
and that pride is not a good thing. And yet you are just have ignored it, have not listened to it. Be like what we like you were just saying about this Bible. You preach it and they ignore it. Something was preached to this fella and he ignored it. Yeah.
You know, and the other people who did this exact same thing is the children of Israel.
Yeah, they did.
They continually fell back into sin and continually disobeyed God, and he brought them back up and fall back down.
Yeah, he did. You know, when I get to this chapter, I might say something. And thou, his son, I just read it. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house, the Lord of heaven, before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. You about ready to get it, buddy, you know. Then was the part of the hand, he's going to tell him, then was the part of the hand sent from him, the one that you won't glorify, the one you won't acknowledge, the one whose vessels that you brought and glorified pagan gods in, that God's hand wrote on that wall. That ought to shake you up real good, huh?
You know, it goes back to that, every knee shall bow, and if this man's getting a taste of that, he's going to bow to God,
yeah,
whether he wants to or not.
And he's going to bow real quick, too,
yeah,
as we'll see. Yeah, he's going to bow real quick. Then was the part of the hand sent from him. And this is the writing was written. And this writing was written by that hand, right? And this is the writing that was written. Meaning, and Gil says these are Chaldean words. I had that in my notes right here on the side. Meaning, tekel, up, Eupharsian, I guess that's right. That would be U-P-H. I think that would be P-H meaning, you know, like Philadelphia. Am I pronouncing that right? I don't know. Eupharsian. This is the interpretation of the thing. So he's going to tell him. Meaning, God hath, and that word meaning means numbered, right? God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Well, he's telling him what it means. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. In other words, he's ending your kingdom. He's finished your kingdom. You've been weighed in the balances and you are wanting, right? Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Perez, Persians, you know, you kind of almost read it yourself. Huh? Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, even though he told him you can keep it all, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now look what happens in the next verse. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. Didn't last a day, did he? Did not last a day. Think about it. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, or 62 years old. I probably had to go back to my notes. I think, is this the case where they cut off the dam, the river, and they went underneath? In other words, the river flowed through the city. Okay, they had a wall around the city. It was protected, you know. They're in there having a good old time, and old Darius, he done dammed up the river, and they just went right in. And I think it was this case, and I don't think it was the next one. Yeah, it was this one. And I have it in my notes somewhere, but anyway. So, wow. That's quite a thing, huh? That ought to be a lesson learned for all of us, that pride is not a good thing. Anyway, another thing I wanted to mention that in the study of Daniel, I think it's important to see. You know, the reformers, they preach sovereign grace. That's one good thing about them. But they make the church universal and invisible, don't they? For the most part.
A portion of them.
So, and I think it's important not to, to confuse the church with Israel. And, you know, Israel is not the church.
Right.
It's different. And so some people are just totally against dispensationalism. I don't know why. You know, I know there's covenants, yeah, you know, the covenant theology and all that. You can study all that for yourself. But God dealt with man in the Garden of Eden different, wouldn't you say? And then before the flood, it was different. After the flood, you had from there to Abraham. That was slight. But then you had the Mosaic economy, right? That was a different dispensation. I don't know what else to call it. Even, I'm not saying that people were saved different. We all know that man has been saved by grace from the beginning to the end.
Absolutely.
Always. It'll always be that way. Through Christ, all right? But still, even a Gentile that was brought in, he was still under that Mosaic economy in Israel. You know, it wasn't like he had a different religion out there or something. You know, they were proselytes, you know. But still, there was a different economy. Then you want to say something new. No. And then when Christ was crucified, you have the church age. The church was a mystery. The Old Testament prophets did not see the church. They would see the peaks of prophecy, the way I've heard it described. In other words, they saw the peak of the first coming of Christ, and then they see the peak of second coming of Christ, but they don't see that what's in between. And so what was in between the parenthesis that we discussed about is where the church is at, and there's no set time on that. There is a specific time. 70 weeks is a specific time. But there's no specific time between the 6th, 9th, and 70th week. And if you can't understand that, it's going to be a problem, really, understanding all of this. Really.
There's no revealed time.
There's no revealed time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, God's got a set time. You're right about that. Church, right.
So that's where a large portion of the guests at the wedding
yes.
come from.
And shouldn't we distinguish between the wife of God and the bride of Christ?
Yes.
You know, I mean, anyway. But I just wanted to throw that in there before we go on all this stuff, because this is going to get pretty deep as we go along, okay? Chapter 6. I think everybody understood what I just said, I guess. I don't know if you know it. You always ask questions afterwards. It pleased Darius to set up over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. This is Darius the Mede, right? Wasn't it Darius the Mede took the kingdom? Okay. And it pleased Darius to set up over the kingdom 100, and you know the Medes and it was the Medes and Persians. We'll see later on in the next chapter. Okay, that bear had two sides, one lifted up, and we will get to all that. And that was the Medes and Persians. All right, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Okay, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So in other words, this is a new king and everything, and yet he recognizes Daniel with all the superior intelligence and wisdom that he has. Okay. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. We don't like him, but, you know. They just don't like it. You know, they're jealous of Daniel. Right? Then the presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. In other words, they don't like him being set up. They just don't like this.
It just reminds you of what's going on today.
Yeah.
This new president come in and has messed up all this establishment that they have good thing going,
Yeah, the deep state. Yep.
He's kind of purging it out, and he put this guy that they don't like.
Yeah.
Power.
Yeah.
And they said, we got to get rid of that.
Yeah, and I hope they all go to jail too. But anyway.
These guys here back in Daniel's time, they were set against him.
Yeah.
Not that they didn't like him, because they didn't get kicked out of their position.
Yeah, Well, anyway, they sought to find occasion against Daniel, okay? Concerning the kingdom. Not so much about his God. I thought they probably could care less who he worshiped, okay? But they're going to use that against him, as you'll see. But they could not. Huh?
A means to an end.
A means to an end. As a means to an end. There you go. We see that too, don't we, today?
Yeah,
absolutely. Wanting, yeah.
I think that's an ominous warning to all of us too. We aren't weighed against each other. We're weighed against Christ.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, yeah,
we're
yeah. And that'll affect. It won't affect our salvation, but it will affect when we stand before the judgment seat, the Bema seat. Yeah. Is it? Yes. It will. Yeah. And some of this stuff will be hay, wood, and stubble, and it'll burn up. You know,
most.
Sir.
Probably most.
Probably a good portion of it. You're right. Maybe
we're being weighed against something that
yeah.
is well above us.
Absolutely, and you know, and a lot of things we think are pretty good going to burn up. You know, I think that's the problem, right? Because of our intent. I mean, just think about it. Why do we do things? You know. This is because if it isn't because we love Christ, it's going to. Then the presidents and the princes, we read that, concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. In other words, they couldn't find that. What is that? Quick pro or whatever? They just couldn't find it, so we're going to get him on something. We're going to find something. We're going to get him. I hate to put the politics into it, but it's just so funny. I mean, it's so funny. But anyway. Neil, you wanted to say something again, aren't you? Okay. You want a king, I'll give you a king.
And then they rail against their kings, and it's just, we always try to find fault.
Yeah.
We do the same thing with,
yeah.
You know, in our personal relationships.
Yeah.
It's just.
And when they wanted a king, they rejected him as king, didn't they?
It's human nature.
Yeah. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. See, we're going to use his devotion to God Almighty, and we're going to use that against him. And that's what they'll do to you too.
Yeah.
You know, they will. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Man, you're so great. That's what I'm getting out of that, you know.
Yeah.
Live forever. We just love you, and we just want you to live forever. And is that their intention? You know, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee. Oh, that ought to go right to his head, huh? Not save of some other pagan god, but of thee, king. Oh, live forever, king. And if anybody asks any petition other than you, you great god, you know, oh, king, he shall be cast into the den of the lions.
Yeah. You remember when Paul, he almost got killed. He was preaching there, and the Pharisees, people grabbed him up and was going to tear him apart. And Felix sent his, the governor sent the soldiers.
Oh.
And put him in house arrest.
Yeah.
Then people killed him.
Yeah, I know they did. Right.
Well, what did them Pharisees do when they came to Felix? Oh, you are.
Yep. Oh yeah, just praising him. Yeah, yeah, right. And they really believe that. Yeah. Oh well. Anyway, now, O King, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed. Notice that it be not changed. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. So they get, remember I told you that his kingdom is inferior? Remember back over there in Daniel chapter 2 verse 39, another kingdom shall rise which shall be inferior? Because Nebuchadnezzar, whatever he said went. Whom he slew, and whom he kept alive, and it was all up to him. You know, he could make a decree, and if he wanted to change it, that was his business. But under this law, if the king made a decree and signed it, he couldn't undo it. He can't undo it. Okay, so once he signs this thing, it altereth not. He's trapped in it, okay? Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. You know, I guess it all went to his head, you know? they trapped him. They got him. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went in. What did he do? He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In other words, when he knew this had been written, he didn't say, "Well, I'm a hold off." You know, I'll hold off for a couple of days even, maybe. You know, until maybe he'll forget about it. And these guys,
I'll hide and do it.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Even Jesus said, when you pray, go in your closet. He could have done that. No. His windows were open, too. He could have shut his windows so they couldn't hear him. His windows were open toward Jerusalem, and he did exactly like he did aforetime. It didn't persuade him one bit. In other words, he was that devoted to God that this decree of being put in a lion's den didn't fear it. That's quite a thing, huh? That's faith, brother. That is faith. That is. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. It's not that one of them passed by, "Hey, guys, he's over there praying." They assembled and found him. They got themselves together and they went over there waiting for him to pull this thing, because they knew he was going to do it, and they were going to have him. And found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. So what did they do? Straight to the king. "We got him. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, say thee, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den?" Didn't you say that, king? The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." I can't back out of that. Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah," you know, that Jew, "regardeth not thee." Well, he don't regard you, O king, "nor the decree that thou hast assigned, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was mad, was angry at Daniel? No. Look what it says. Was sore displeased with himself. "They tricked me. They played to my pride. They buttered me up and they had me all up on a pedestal and they tricked me. He was so displeased with himself that he allowed his pride to be taken in by these hucksters. That's what I get it. And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He wanted to deliver him. He didn't want to put him in that king, in that. Those guys tricked him. But remember, he's not like Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, "Well, I ain't gonna do it. You know, you guys tricked me, fool. I'll put you in. I'll put y'all in it. They're gonna go in it. We'll see. Because he's gonna make a new decree anyway." And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. So I'm thinking what he's doing there, he can't overcome this law. You know, it's probably like he's trying to labor in a court of law to, "Hey, look, guys, you know, you guys tricked me." He can't undo it. You want to say something?
One time, let me just violate this one time.
Yeah, he can't do it. Nope, King, you signed it, buddy. Well, that means that they had more power than he did in this situation. You know, that guy, he's not above the law. You know, no president's above the law, you know. Anyway, he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. You can't change it. Then the king, he ain't got much choice, does he? Or else they might kick him off the throne, I guess. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Now he's saying it with almost like he's sure of it, but as you go on, I'm not sure he's absolutely sure of it. He's hoping that, you know, but I guess he's encouraging Daniel, the God that you serve, he'll protect you in this situation. I have no choice. I got to throw you in there, but the God that you serve, he'll deliver you. That's the only way out of this. If he don't, Daniel's cooked. He's meat. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So I guess it was not only his signature, but also the signet, you know, stamp or whatever I guess that is, of all the lords that ruled in the kingdom. Be like Congress, I guess, stamping it, whatever. Yeah, right. Yeah, you got all the...
I've done my part.
Yeah. No. No, he's got all the other... He's got all the lords in this thing, too. I don't know if anybody ever saw... and I thought it was a pretty decent movie. What was that? One Night with the King? Anybody ever seen that movie? It was about Esther. And anyway, and it was showing how that the king... All these lords were trying to trap him. But it's the same. And he was a Persian king, so in that movie. Anyway. And so it was kind of pretty accurate, really, on a lot of things. Anyway, so it says here, "Not be changed concerning Daniel." Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. So I think what it is here, he don't even want to eat. I don't think it's fasting in the sense that a Christian fast or the Jews fasted. I think it was what it was. He's not fasting that, you know, in the sense that sense. But I think what it is, he don't want to eat. In fact, he don't want to eat. He don't want to sleep. He can't sleep. Look at it. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Well, you know what? When you sleep, you're fasting anyhow. That's why they call it break fast. Breakfast in the morning, break fast, right? Okay. But anyway, he spent the night, he passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. I don't want to hear no music. And his sleep went from him. So he is gone the whole night. He can't sleep, he can't eat, and he don't want to hear no music. He's troubled. Then the king arose. He must have really liked Daniel. And he's upset that these guys trapped him. Then the king rose very early in the morning. Next day's gone, right? In the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. Now, that word lamentable is sorrow and grief. He is, you know, Oh, Daniel, are you okay, Daniel? Which tells me that he was still concerned about him, you know. I mean, back over there, he will deliver thee. I mean, if he was that sure about it, he would have gone to the thing and said, Daniel, I know you're there because I know you, God delivered you. But he's with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Are you there, Daniel? Did God deliver you? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. And they have not hurt me for as much as before him. Innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. So in other words, what he's saying is, this is all... Now, he's not saying that he's without sin. Because you'll go over there, if you go compare Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, he says he confesses his sins. He knows he's a sinner. He's not saying I'm innocent. I'm innocent of what these guys are trying to do to me. And King, you know it's true too. You know it's true. For as much as before him, that is before God, innocency was found in me and also before thee. You knew it. O King, I have done no hurt. There is no reason for me, those guys, to have done this other than they hate my guts. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him because he believed in his God. Why? Because he believed in his God. He trusted God. That's faith. That's what it is. That's faith. He trusted. He had faith that God was not going to let them lions kill him. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Now notice this. He didn't have no mercy on them, neither did he. Them, their children, and their wives. Wow, I mean, really? He's wiping them all out. That's a lot of people, yeah. And you think, well, what did their children have to do with it? Well, I guess like father, like son, I don't know. And their wives and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came to the bottom of the den. So I guess... this tells us one thing too. It wasn't that the lions didn't touch Daniel because they weren't hungry. You know, they had enough to eat. You know, Daniel. No, I ain't even hungry for Daniel. No, they already had their lunch, right? They had already had the barbecue pit running, whatever. No, and so. Immediately when they threw these guys in there, what? I mean, they tore them to pieces. So it wasn't that the lions weren't hungry and had been full. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you, and I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. It's amazing how things turn out, huh? For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. In other words, he's God, right? He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. He just delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Remember, Darius the Mede, he was the Mede, and Cyrus was the Persian, the Medes and Persians, right? It's 11 o'clock. Okay. Now, I want you to just read the first verse of the next chapter. This is where things sort of change. Back in the previous chapter, we saw that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, right? And Daniel interpreted that image. And that image had a certain amount of prophetic meaning to it, if I can say that, okay? But everything from up to this point is more historical. But now, all of a sudden, it's not that Darius the Mede sees a vision, or Nebuchadnezzar sees a vision, or it's Daniel sees a vision. Notice, look at, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. So now he's going back to Babylon, right? Now, Babylon's already fallen. The Medes and Persians have all taken over. But now Daniel's relating back to a time back in Babylon. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, I'm going to stop there, okay, because we're out of time. In the previous, and I'm going to hit on this next time too, okay. In that vision that Nebuchadnezzar saw, it was a golden image. Now, the bottom part was iron and stuff like that, but it was, just think about it, it was an image of gold and looked pretty good, right? Silver and all that stuff. But now, all of a sudden, the same empires that are going to be revealed here are revealed as beasts. That's interesting, isn't it? So we've gone from a glorious looking image that even Nebuchadnezzar thought it was so good he made an image in, you know, the prayer. But now all of a sudden we got beasts. The first three beasts are likened unto beasts that you can see out here in the field, whatever. The fourth beast was so different that there was no beast out there that he could relate to. It had iron teeth and all this stuff. And you think about this, and I'm getting way ahead of myself. You think about this. That fourth beast was the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire, and historically, the Roman Empire hasn't been really that much different than the rest of them, has it? I mean, it was pretty strong and all that. But the thing is, this fourth beast, the Antichrist is going to come out of that fourth beast. That's the thing. That revised fourth beast is going to be horrible. Absolutely horrible, like nothing else. And that's why I think it's, and I'm, like I said, I'm getting ahead of myself. Make you interested, though.